Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guy Zavito, my waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back all the way from Washington State. We have Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County. So thank you so much for being back on the show, Sheriff. He's also, for people that don't know, he is retired FBI, and not just that, retired FBI whistleblower as well. He's got a great pedigree. Fantastic story. Also, Officer Danny King, he's the founder of American Patrolman at AmericanPatrolman.com. And he makes a career when he's not helping out Jamie Borden with Critical Incident Review and helping Jamie shine. He is going around the country helping cops out that get in a world of hurt. I noticed that Jamie Borden had a video out yesterday where he was singing. He used to sing with, like, you know, the guy from Sting and stuff. But I did not see Danny helping him in the studio on the singing portion or the instruments, you know, or anything like that. I just wanted to point that out, Danny. You need to get involved. Even if you're like doing the cymbals or something, or like the little shaker things, you know, you need to do something like that when Jamie does his next video with music. Okay. So
you want me to play the spoons?
Hey, that's great. Spoons on the lap. Yeah, I like that. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, and our satellite sponsor, thanks to them, we're on our fourth week right now, Satellite Radio Compliant Technologies.com. We have GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and thanks to them, we're streaming the 1.5 million right now. Also, Two Bells, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, former lawman.com, or Ray Dietrich and LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We want you guys to be among the smartest people in the room when it comes to the news, and we tell it from a law enforcement perspective. We have a cop busted partying at Stagecoach while allegedly claiming $600,000 for a fake injury. It's a female cop, and I tell you, no one hates this worse than cops. It ruins our pension and the benefits for the legitimate people that get hurt and do disability retirements out. So we're going to be talking about that story probably first. And then we've got some other ones. We've got FDLE investigates a fatal Hillsborough County deputy-involved shooting that happened in Tampa. There's video involved in that one, just happened. And also, Mustang police officer not charged after a deadly shooting involving a 41-year-old man. And then we're topping over to another story. And it's interesting. We've got Pierce County Sheriff's Union, and that is in Washington State. They're telling their deputies to look for other jobs if they want fair pay, even sending them the agencies to apply to, along with the applications, I believe. So that was pretty stunning. And not to be outdone with that one, we got NYPD Bailey shooting a guy after a stolen car nearly hits an officer on the beltway. That was a stolen Porsche. At least the bad guys good taste in cars. And then, assuming that we got time to get to it, we've got a Bradenton police officer injured after being dragged by a car during a traffic stop. And we got a couple other videos. I don't know if we'll have time to get to them unless you guys want to take anything, you know, out of order. But if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and dive into the first story. And it's these two update stories are going to be pretty wild. So at Vice.com, cop busted partying at Stagecoach while allegedly claiming $600,000 for a fake injury. Man, this really boils my blood. In a press release, the Orange County District Attorney's Office said that it charged Nicole Brown with 15 felonies. Wow. So she's a 39-year-old former Westminster police officer, allegedly stole more than $600,000 in fraudulent workers' compensation payments. She collected the money after she claimed that she was left completely disabled. And that those two words are important in the story, completely disabled, when she suffered a head injury on the job. Now, the supposed injury, so the article is already saying that, you know, they doubt that it's legit. And when you hear the story, you are going to feel the same way. The supposed injury occurred March of 2022. Brown, our female, suffered a minor abrasion to her forehead while attempting to arrest and handcuff an uncooperative bad guy. At the time, she said that she had a headache and she felt dizzy, and that she ended up being released from the hospital the same day and going back to work. But then she started calling in sick several days in a row, and an investigation allegedly found that she attended a soccer conference, though. Remember, full disability, right? Now, she was diagnosed with severe concussion syndrome. She was taken off of work as a cop by the doctor, placed on a total temporary disability. But while she's out on total temporary disability, she cost the city of Westminster $600,000, and that amount included her full salary, That was tax-free, by the way, her medical expenses, and this is according to the press release. Now, all the while, she allegedly complained that she was experiencing headaches, dizziness, sensitivity to light, and noise, and she allegedly had problems processing thoughts and words, and she was unable to work on the computer. Now, here's what the problem was. While she's taking the money, the $600K, she allegedly is partying at Stagecoach Music Festival with more than 75,000 people in attendance, loud music, bright lights everywhere, temperatures in excess of 100 degrees. And then during the investigation, officers discovered that while she's out on disability, she ran in 2 5K races. She went snowboarding and or skiing at Big Bear and Mammoth. She went to 3 soccer conferences, attended baseball games, played golf, went to Disneyland, and took online courses with a local university. And the story gets better. She's got a stepfather. His name is Peter Gregory Schumann. He spoke on her behalf during a meeting, and he ended up getting charged. But Brown's charges include 9 felony counts of making a fraudulent statement to obtain compensation, 6 felony counts involving insurance, and another one, aggravated white-collar crime stuff. It's kind of crazy. If convicted on all counts, she faces a maximum sentence of 22 years in state prison. And additionally, if convicted, she'll forfeit her pension that she started getting. Now, the guy, the stepdad that was helping her out and backing her testimony up, he's been charged with 2 felonies for his alleged role in the scheme. I suspect there's stuff going on that we don't know about, but he's facing 1 felony count of making a fraudulent insurance claim and a 1 felony count of assisting, abetting, and conspiring with and soliciting in person an unlawful act. Wow. He faces a maximum sentence of 8 years in state prison. And he is, get this, he's a licensed attorney. He practices workers' comp defense on behalf of insurance companies. And he may, I see the sheriff shaking his head, and he may suffer discipline by the State Bar of California. Wow, what a story. We got just under 5 minutes before we take our first commercial break. But commentary on that. This is an interesting story, especially with the father-in-law / workers' comp attorney. I wonder if there was some coaching going on involving this, Danny.
Yeah, you think so? I'll tell you what, this story involves my 2 least favorite things, liars and workman's comp.
I thought you meant females and attorneys.
No. Attorneys, though. I mean, my 3 unfavorite things. I'll tell you, I've had several injuries over the years, and I don't even bother going through the normal workman's comp process. I just go through an attorney because they stand to save a lot of money by just denying your claim and making you fight for everything. I had a friend who injured his shoulder on the job. He was a realtor part-time, but he was a law enforcement officer as well. So he has his neighbor across the street, as he has this injury, neighbor across the street dies. They want to sell the house. The family wants to sell the house, so they reach out to him. He says, hey, I can't do it, but here's a realtor that can do it because he's on workman's comp. He can't profit or whatever the case is. So this other lady takes it. She does the listing, so on and so forth. Well, one day she calls him. She goes, hey, I got a showing at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever, and I can't make it. Can you do it? He's like, yeah, I just want to make it clear. I'll show the house for you, but I can't do any of the paperwork. I can't take any of the profit. No problem. So he shows the house because it's literally across the street from him. So shows the house. Next thing you know, he gets a packet in the mail that's also sent to the attorney general his command. And it's a video of him showing the house. Workman's Comp arranged for private investigators to look at 2 houses simultaneously, one across the street from him and one with the actual realtor that was supposed to show this house. And so took her out of the loop. So essentially they set it up so thinking that he would have to do it. And he did do it. But, he didn't take any of the profit. They waited a couple months or something like that. He didn't take any of the profit or anything like that. And so they're unloved people by a lot of people. Wow. They're not to be messed with. You got to be really careful around workman's comp. Because if they got him on that, immaterial of whether his injury was work-related or not, they're still going to save themselves millions of dollars by casting that shadow of doubt. So.
And when the pension starts coming into play, yeah.
But right. She did the wrong thing, it looks like. She'll have her day in court, but it looks like she did the wrong thing. So it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, don't mess with my pension. You know, it needs to be well funded. You know, so well, guys, if you're ready to go to our first story with a video component, let's go ahead and jump on that. We've got just under 2 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So this story's got a video component, and some of the stories we cover do. If you're listening to the show audibly in your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And if you have to see a particular video that we cover, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day. Our Rumble channel is called Leo Roundtable. At 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will releases a special version of the live show. It's a post-production version, and in it, he embeds every video that we talk about. As we talk about it, pictures of the good guys and bad guys pop up as we're talking about them. It's a great way to watch a show. We do that Tuesday through Saturday. TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press. There's a body cam associated with this. FDLE, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, they investigated fatal Hillsborough County deputy involved shooting in Tampa.
10-5 white female. Here, let's go. Let's go. I got you. Let's go. I'm gonna help you out. 1, 2, 3. There we go. You're good. There you go.
Ma'am, who did this to you? Your mom? Where is she at?
What's your mom's name?
All right.
Sheriff's office, anybody else inside, make yourself known. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, you're in this bedroom, let us know. Hey, got one down. Put your hands up. No, don't do it. Put it down. Put it down. Drop it. Drop the gun. Drop it. All right, count up. Who's hit? Anybody good?
We're good.
All right, hold what you got. She's down.
Now, this is my neck of the woods. I am in the city limits of Tampa, which is within Hillsborough County. And so I'm only going to be able to whet the appetite on this one because we got a commercial break coming up. But the Florida Department of Law Enforcement actively is investigating a deputy-involved shooting that resulted in the death of a 46-year-old woman, Rosamond Brookins. And this happened in Tampa early on Sunday morning. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office released this body cam footage. And it was a report of a burglary and a shooting. And it's pretty wild how this thing goes down. It happened on May the 25th of 2025. It's 4:41 in the morning. And the communication center gets a call regarding a possible burglary in progress with an individual that's been shot. So, look, that's all I'm going to say right now. We got a commercial break coming up. Stick with us. It's going to be a great story. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can get our gear from a lot of different sources, right? And look, especially if you're looking online. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And they do it in spectacular fashion. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking to get your gear, support our title sponsor and go to Gauls.com and listen to this. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're giving you a code to get 15% off. The code is radio15, so that's radio15. Type that in on your next purchase. That's good until June the 31st at Gauls.com. You get 15% off automatically. You got to love that. And they have gift cards we give away too every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com. They'll be your new best friends. If you haven't checked it out lately, it's an amazing site. All kinds of gear, Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, Walla Walla County, Washington State, and Officer Danny King over in the Las Vegas area with AmericanPatrolman.com. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Look, we left off before the commercial break talking about an FDLE investigation involving a fatal Hillsborough County shooting, which is in Florida in the Tampa area. And we were talking about this. It happened May the 25th, 2025. It's 4:41 in the morning, so it's early. And the Communication Center for the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, they get a call involving a possible burglary in progress with an individual that's already been shot. So, yeah, this call is going to give you a little bit of a pucker factor going to it. So when they get there, the deputies, they do extensive measures, repeated verbal commands for anyone that's inside the residence to come out. Because remember, we know that someone's been shot, so we know there's a gun involved. So a roommate and a young child subsequently come out of the home. They move the safety, then the deputies, they enter the residence, and they locate an adult female victim that appears to be suffering from a gunshot wound to her hand. Now, there's some other information. I really can't remember where I read it at, but I remember reading somewhere that, you know, well, she was certainly lethargic. They're pretty much having to carry her out. She can hardly even stand. And when they get her outside, they kind of like, they lay her down, And some article somewhere that I read suggested that maybe she had been given something to drink by the person that shot her, which was, I think, her mother. And that's why, you know, she was lethargic, like she had been drugged, which would make sense judging off of what I saw in the video. So she's rescued and they take her outside, and now they're going to look for the mother, Brookins, who had been identified as a suspect in the initial shooting. So HCSO deputies, they encounter a locked bedroom door. They get multiple commands to open up the door. But of course, you know, she's a bad girl, so she doesn't. So they force their way into the room and they see mom, Brookins, lying on the floor. She's got a gun to her in her hand. Multiple commands are given to her to drop the weapon. She does not comply. One deputy, identified as Joshua Thomas, fires multiple rounds at her. It's 4:55 in the morning when he does, and she's pronounced deceased at the scene. Our deputy, Joshua Thomas, has been with the HCSO for only 10 months, but he has 6 years prior experience from the Temple Terrace Police Department. And HCSO said that he's had no prior use of force incidents. So it's kind of like baptism by fire, huh? This guy's got a lot of experience all of a sudden, you know, just with 10 years on, you know, at HCSO. I'm familiar with Temple Terrace. I used to live in Temple Terrace. It used to be a great little town. Not a lot of action there. So anyhow, I'm curious what you guys think about this. Danny King, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Is it normal for FDLE to investigate a large SO like that?
You know, HCSO, from what I understand, they have engaged FDLE to investigate their shoots now. So Look, normally they didn't used to do that, but this is a new protocol that's been around for a few years now, from what I understand.
Yeah, so there's a lot of state organizations that will, if you ask them to, like if Sheriff Kreider asks them to, I think it's law in your state, but in other states, there's state organizations or protocol teams that will investigate shootings. But oftentimes with things like this, when you have suicidal individuals that have weapons to their own head, those shootings tend to be a little bit more controversial than others. Even though in the video, what you can see is when he breaches the door, kicks it open, you can see that she has the gun to her head, but very shortly thereafter, she starts to raise it, which is what often happens. On a side note, in most states, or in many states, I should say, now with all this legislation, they've put on the books that you cannot use deadly force against an individual who is only a threat to themselves, which, I mean, it sounds like it makes sense, but people now compare what happened in this video to circumstances in the law, excuse me, and so they start to scratch their head. But, you know, it's sad. I've experienced suicide by cop incidents in which a person presses the issue and knows what the outcome is going to be, but continues anyway. And, you know, I hope that officer's doing okay, that, you know, someone forced his hand like that. But this is unfortunately not abnormal.
Well, thanks, Sheriff Pryor.
Well, I was going to discuss some of the tactical things that I saw in there, but Danny King had to kick the hornet's nest on the political side. So in the state of Washington, the legislature passed a couple years ago a law that any use of force in the future, right now they're only doing fatals, would be investigated by the Attorney General's office, an organization set up by the Attorney General's office called the Office of, it's OII, I can't remember, Office of something investigations, which is to be manned by non-law enforcement personnel. So now we have non-law enforcement personnel that are investigating us when the police agencies in the state of Washington got together, and we have regional teams. So we have it's an Office of Independent Investigation, but we have our own independent investigation that are manned by very seasoned and very vetted detectives from all the agencies that are involved in that. In my case, it's a four county area. And they do a very good job. They're very vetted. They're independent. The involved agency, does their investigators are not allowed to participate in the investigation. Obviously, it's then reviewed by the prosecuting attorney. But it's a quagmire, to say the least, with these non-investigative people They don't have law enforcement authority. So their search warrants and stuff are just a mess. They don't have the ability to retain evidence. They have no ability to do administrative interviews and compelled interviews. It's all criminal. So as you can imagine, most of the officers refuse to participate, where with our investigations, almost all the officers 100% participate in the investigation. So it's just created a mess.
Wow. Well, thanks, guys. Excellent commentary on that. You know, we've got some Dan O'Kelly from GunLearner.com is over on Rumble, and we got Melissa Johnson, another new user on Facebook. So we're jamming today, but we're also coming up on another commercial break. So guys, stick with us. We've got another great story coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from hidden threats. And that is where MyTech, which is the division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions that are designed to help out law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Now, their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days. Get that. That is like, what, 3 weeks? 4 weeks, 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. And when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how they equip your team today by going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now, it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they get the training for free, thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on May the 29th on Wednesday, it is Plain View and Plain Feel. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That is at bluethegold.com. And, hey, I see that is actually the 29th is actually going to be on Thursday, so keep that in mind if you guys want to sign up. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Sheriff Mark Kreider and Officer Danny King are on the show. Comments, guys, on the story with the video component that we just finished up. Are you guys ready to move on to the next one? You ready? All right. I see the heads bobbing. So let's go ahead and get this next one. This is at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Mustang police officer is not charged after a deadly shooting involving a 41-year-old man. So in case you guys are wondering where Mustang is, Mustang police is in Oklahoma. They released dash cam footage from a deadly officer involved shooting the 41-year-old bad guy. And we have police chief Mike Wallace is giving some narrative on this thing. And he says, based off the footage, Officer Jazreel Wright's actions were justified. Now, the chief says that Officer Wright responded to a call involving Juan Barbosa, and this happened last August. Barbosa, our bad guy, was being aggressive during a mental health episode. Officer Wright was confronted with a rapidly escalating situation, female officer, and she was required to make a split-second decision, according to her chief, to protect her safety and the safety of the other people that were present. Now, authorities are saying that the female officer's use of non-lethal force, a taser, that it did not work. And I believe that they said there were two deployments. And they say that, well, you can see from the video, the bad guy's ignoring her and he's actually charging her as well. He refused to obey her commands. And it appeared to have intent to inflict potential lethal bodily injury. Now, that's important because, you know, when we use lethal force, we have to you don't have to be in fear of death, but you have to be in fear of great bodily injury to yourself or to another person. And not just that, it's not enough that you feel that way, but a reasonable officer in the same situation as you would have to have that same fear. It just can't be, you know, you're some 90-pound wet, soaking wet, you know, guy that can't fight his way out of a paper bag and you're in fear. Well, a reasonable person would have the same way. Officer Wright shot Barbosa two times. Mustang Fire Department shows up. They pronounce the bad guy dead at the scene. Officer Wright, it says, used non-lethal twice and was left with no alternative, according to her chief, to use deadly force at a last resort. Her actions were reasonable under the circumstances, according to the chief. And it brings in that commentary, Danny, where, you know, There was no contact between her and the bad guy. And I'm talking about physical contact before shots fired. So it's not like she was in a physical fight with the guy losing, separated, and went lethal. It's not like the bad guy had a weapon on him. You know, it was she tried the taser a couple of times. Actually, you know, he did go down once with the taser, but then he was down for a long time. In fact, there was no sound in the video. I thought she'd shot him and that he was like dead, but then he got back up. So Danny King.
Yeah, it is confusing as to what happened there. And oftentimes I'll take a look later, but the district attorney, the prosecutor's office sometimes will release a memo. I don't personally understand what happened here, but again, the facts and things like that matter. You know, the only thing I wish she had done, using the benefit of hindsight, is as soon as she made connection the first time with the taser, you know, whenever it's appropriate, get on the radio, scream your call sign, whatever the case is, to let your people know what's going on. And then you concentrate on that dude. And what you're looking for is you're looking for any indication that he's going to get up. So if you have a successful taser connection or neuromuscular incapacitation, you just wait for him to move. Maybe you're given orders. You put yourself kind of on this replay loop where you say, put your arms out by your side like an airplane, put your arms out by your side like an airplane, but you're not thinking, you're not engaging with this guy. You're just trying to detect if this guy's getting up, because as soon as he starts to get up, you hit him again with that taser and re-energize him, and probably would have, hopefully, I mean, it may have short-circuited this, but as to why the lethal force happened, I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, and look, let's face it. Normally when I tase a guy, I'm going to move in and I'm going to put him, you know, you can always reactivate the taser. If he goes down and the probes are still there, you can reactivate the taser, right? I mean, if you take your finger off the trigger, it's typically a 5-second ride, right? But move in and handcuff the guy. Now, look, she's a female officer. She's smaller. He's going to be able to overpower her. I get that. He was on the ground. Maybe he was on the ground waiting for her to do that. I mean, you know, who knows? But I know there's always a question when, if I'm going to use lethal force against a bad guy sheriff, I'm going to go hands-on with the guy first, and I'm going to be expected to go hands-on with that guy first. I'm not saying females are in the same situation, because we've got that running joke about, you know, I'd rather be arrested by a male officer, because females can justify use of deadly force a lot quicker than a male officer is going to be able to. Sheriff Pryder.
I am going to ask Danny King if I can use that neuromuscular incapacitation.
Yeah,
I think this also goes to body cams and dash cams, in that you're getting a view, but you're getting a limited view because you have no audio involved in it. I had to watch it a couple times because I, like you, thought she shot him initially. And then when he got up, I was like, okay, shoot him again. But I think she tased him the first time. Not sure why she didn't re-engage the taser when he attempted to get up and, you know, keep telling him to stay down. But he obviously wasn't obeying commands. And then he did have something in his hand, but I couldn't make out from the video what was in the hand. So I think this is a really good example of video gives you part of the story, but it doesn't give you the entire story. So that, along with whatever commands she was giving him, he obviously wasn't obeying because he was coming forward and advancing on her. And I'm sure she was giving him commands to stay back or whatever before she engaged lethal force. So just a lesson in the fact that, you know, body cams and dash cams don't always give you 100% of the story.
Good point, Sheriff. And I know there was that one point where that civilian got in between her and the bad guy. He's trying to push the bad guy away and he broke away. But you're right. You know, nothing says that the fear has to be just reasonable. Of course, if you're in California, you know, maybe that standard might switch to necessary. But we have a lot of incidents where we think the bad guy's got a weapon. Maybe it was a cell phone. Maybe it was in just something else in his hand. But I've also, in like Fresno, California, we've had a bad guy approaching cops with his hand behind his back. And when he rips his hand out, he's got nothing, but they light him up. They're completely justified. You don't have to wait till a bad guy is pointing a gun at you or you get stabbed with a deadly weapon or shot at before you use lethal force. And that would be, that in itself would be, you know, unreasonable. So good point that even though there was something that appeared to be in his hand, that goes a long way in justifying the shoot in my mind, because even if you're not sure what it is, you don't have to wait and find out, you know, that would be unreasonable. So, final words, Danny, on
you know,
this?
If you notice when he got up, he had something in his right hand, like the sheriff said, and it's almost like he peeled it back or something like that, and then kind of advanced toward her. So, you know, it is what it is at that point. And, you know, on a side note, Chip, I've got a guy out there that would be excellent for this, a fellow by the name of Marlon Mirage, my favorite Peruano. He's a force investigator as well, and he has some commentary to add. If we can add him on here one of these days.
Marlon, what's the last name?
Mirage. He's a weird little dude from LA, but I like him. He's a Navy guy, so he just...
Yeah, we've already reached. I think Navy we've already been in contact. Yeah, you I think you might see him soon. So, yeah, good deal.
We need more weirdos around here.
Yeah, there you go. Well, look, guys, good commentary on this. We've got a couple minutes before we come to our third and last commercial break. So stick with us. I have enough time to whet the appetite. And this is an interesting story because we're going to pop over and share Mark Kreider's neck of the woods. We're going to go to Washington State real quick at comonews.com. I'm going to try to, I got 2 minutes to try to get through as much of the story as I can. But the commentary will probably be reserved for after the commercial break when we come back. But Pierce County Sheriff's Union, they tell deputies to look for other jobs if they want fair pay. Now, Pierce County, Washington, it's not Walla Walla County where Sheriff Kreider's at, but it's elsewhere in the state. The union that represents the sheriff deputies in Pierce County, they sent blunt messages to the members saying, if you want more money, apply somewhere else. Now, the Pierce County Deputy Sheriff's Guild, so we're going to refer to the union as the Guild, they say 14 months of negotiations with county leaders yielded a proposed pay raise of only 10% over the next 3 years. And they say that they're here to tell the members that are waiting for meaningful compensation from the county's executive's office regarding your future, that executive is not willing to compensate you for, and that the guild as a bargaining team are suggesting that the deputies further their professional career elsewhere. And the update saying that the union leaders included links to job applications for other police departments in the county, including Tacoma, Boney, Lake, and a bunch of other places, including like Lakewood. And the president of the guild, Sean Darby, said that I'm looking out for their best interest. And if it's not pay, it's not here. This is what he told KOMO News. And it goes on to say that Darby says that the county's pay offer is insulting to Pierce County Sheriff's Office deputies, who he says do far more work for much less pay than other officers in surrounding agencies. Now, the agency, though, says that, well, he says that they're 30% lower than what they get paid over at Tacoma Police Department. And he says, this is the country's first written product that they've offered us in 14 months. It's a 10% pay raise over 3 years, and it's not competitive at all. So they're looking for what we call parity. But look, this is a really fascinating story. Stick with us. We got our third commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. Daniel Kelly's actually on Rumble watching right now. Law enforcement personnel, we encounter guns every day as cops, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're watching the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, founder Daniel Kelly with GunLearn.com, they've got a deal for you. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information, GunLearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We got the show going with Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State and Officer Danny King in the Las Vegas area with AmericanPatrolman.com. We left off talking about the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. And look, their union's telling the deputies that if you want fair pay for what you're doing, go somewhere else. They even gave them the names of agencies to apply for and gave them the applications to do it. And they're saying they're about 30% below the pay of Tacoma officers. And so they're looking for parity. They want to get paid across the board the same rate, no matter, you know, what agency you're at. And there's arguments on both sides of that. Not all agencies have the same level of work. same exposure, yada, yada. Now, according to the county data, though, so they're saying that they're underpaid, but county data in the article says that deputy pay has increased 19% in the last 3 years. Now, remember, they're being promised 10% increases over the next three, but they say the county says the last 3 years they got a 19% increase, which is in line with what other sheriff offices in the region are getting. It doesn't say police departments because they were signing Tacoma, but they say other sheriff's offices. Now, and here's a quote from the executive who is end up, he's going to end up being the bad guy in the story. He's saying the current proposal includes significant pay increases and robust benefits that are both competitive and sustainable, according to Pierce County Executive Ryan Mello. Remember, I said he's the bad guy in the story, and that's what his office told KOMO News in a statement. He said that we believe it reflects the critical work of our law enforcement professionals while also meeting our responsibility to the residents of Pierce County. In other words, being fiscally responsible. And I do admit, it's not just pay, it's pay and benefits, you know, come into play here. But let's get some more nuts and bolts on this. The sheriff is Keith Swank, and he's actually, you know, he's sticking up for the troops. He says that Mello, the guy in charge of the holding the purse strings, the, you know, the executive here, he's to blame for the stalled contract negotiations. So the sheriff said the executive is holding this up. And this is what Sheriff Swank said in an internal video set to the sheriff's staff. He said the executive does not believe in compensating you the way that you deserve to be compensated. And he said, I understand some of you may want to consider leaving and going to other agencies, but I don't want you to leave. In a statement to KOMO News on Monday, Sheriff Swank criticized former Sheriff Ed Troyer and the former executive Bruce Damier for not securing a new contract before they each left office in January. So you've got new leaders, a new sheriff, and a new executive in place that are kind of left with the mess. And the sheriff says that since the beginning of my term, both negotiating teams, which is the guild, which is the union, and also the sheriff's office, they actually negotiated in good faith, and they have treated each other with dignity and respect. So the sheriff has taken the high road on this. He says a proposal that both sides actually agreed to, so he had an agreement with the union that it was sent to the executive, but the executive, or bad guy, did not approve it. Instead, his counteroffer was an insult to the hardworking women and men of the guild, and he said that it's almost as if the executive wants to drive the men and women to look for employment elsewhere. And they just for stats, and I don't know what the stats are in Walla Walla, but there in this county, Pierce County, one deputy is responsible for patrolling an area with 63,000 people. Wow. So Danny, why don't you start us off on this, and then we'll have the sheriff jump in, and he can kind of clean up what you get wrong or not. Come on, I'm only doing that for entertainment value, yeah. Danny.
So, you know, Washington is a tough. Yeah, no, it's okay. Visions, dreams, like it. And the army gave me medicine that killed my soul anyway. So, you know, say what you want. Washington is a tough place to please.
Danny, your audio is horrible right now. So, Sheriff, okay. I'm going to let you take over for the radio portion. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just a couple kind of mechanical things in this whole argument. Number one, in the state of Washington, we are not allowed to compare ourselves against police departments. So I cannot get a police. So, for instance, in my county, we have the Walla Walla County Sheriff's Office, we have the Walla Walla Police Department, and we have the College Place Police Department. Well, my guys are not going to go probably across the state to Pierce County to work. So a comparable should be Walla Walla Police Department, but sheriff's offices are not allowed to compare against police departments for whatever reason, even though the majority of the guys that I lose go to Walla Walla Police Department. Second of all, my personal belief is that the public venue is not the place to air grievances on contract negotiations. Now, that being said, the sheriff is not responsible, or I shouldn't say responsible, the sheriff is not involved in contract negotiations only from the standpoint of work conditions. I don't get input into what the salary will be. Evidently, past practice and law says that's a conflict of interest in paying my guys. Obviously, the sheriff is an advocate to get deputies as much pay as he can possibly get, but the arbiter of how much they get is the county executive, if you have one, and the county commissioners. So the county commissioners set the salary. That being said, the state of Washington is last. It's 51st out of the 50 states and the District of Columbia in number of officers per capita. In fact, I have a sticky sitting on my on my computer that Walla Walla County, if you just take the unincorporated area of Walla Walla County that my deputies patrol, we should be at 43 and we're currently at 30. For the county, we should be at 145 and we're at 380, we're at 95. So we're 50 under what that gets us to the average. That doesn't even get us to the top of the heap. That gets us to the national average. So you talk about they're patrolling 63,000 people at any one time. Most days I have three deputies on patrolling 1,300 square miles. So think about that. That's how far your backup is. So, and quite frankly, I don't have a lot of compassion for Pierce County because they probably make, if one of my deputies went to Pierce County, he'd probably make $30,000 more a year. So, my deputies are severely underpaid, as is, you know, the majority of my command staff was very underpaid when I got here. So it's a delicate balance. I don't think you should, my opinion, obviously each sheriff has their own opinion, but my opinion is you should not air contract negotiations in the public venue. You know, they are somewhat public, obviously, because they come out. But I can tell you of the three agencies in my county, the sheriff's office deputies are the lowest paid of the three entities.
Wow. Now, but you can make some of that up, I guess, with benefits as opposed to pay, correct?
You can, you know, some with insurance and other things, but generally the compensation package, you know, my guys look at the other compensation packages. I think we have a fairly good non-monetary compensation package, but we are still not at the forefront between the agencies.
Okay. All right. Interesting. You know, and it's fascinating. And guys watching the show, there is a huge difference between police and sheriffs. And even the way the sheriff described the purse strings and stuff in dealing with, you know, a county executive or an administrator or the county commission. And you've got a whole nother outlay with the city. And we're not even talking about the state, you know, like state troopers or state officers or even the feds, which the sheriff has got all kinds of experience with as well. So there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. And this is just a little, you know, light bulb, you know, and what's going on with the county and especially isolating the state of Washington. So, but this, it goes on elsewhere. It's not just isolated to Washington state. There's all kinds of counties across, you know, this great land where you've got a certain number of cops and all the agencies are trying to get them to come to their, you know, come there and it comes to, you know, pay and benefits and trying to draw them in. So, but we're 15 seconds out, and it's been another great show. Sheriff Kreider, we lost Danny King due to some technical difficulties, but a fantastic show. I appreciate you being here, Sheriff Mark Kreider. And don't go anywhere yet, guys, because we're usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that has suffered from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you can get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars, the number 4, cops.com. And look, I donate to some agencies or some causes, but I want to make sure that I don't get embarrassed. This is at one organization, thewoundedblue.org, that's not going to embarrass you. And that and NPA, the National Police Association, that I donate to. So check out the Wounded Blue at thewindatblue.org. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Governor.com, BlueTheGold.com, AmediCorps.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Thanks for the support, guys. We appreciate it. We'll look for you back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern. And again, more information is at LeoRoundtable.com.